Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast, where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. Today, you have me, Stephanie, and my lovely co-host, Brooks. How are you, Brooks?
I'm doing well.
Howdy-ho. Brooks is actually getting ready to go to Walt Disney World this week, or weekend, I should say. So by the time it airs, you're actually still going to be at Disney. That's so exciting. I'm super, super, super happy for you. And why do I mention this? Because today's episode is in honor of Earth Day / Earth Month. So coincidentally, this episode will be dropping on Earth Day, April 22nd. And Brooks is going to be at Animal Kingdom at Walt Disney World for Earth Day. So that'll be exciting. Brooks, please, any pictures or anything that you could share with us that day, I'd love it. And I'm sure our audience will too. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, Kelton's not here with us today, but he will be back soon enough. So as I mentioned, this episode is all about honoring Earth Day, but really focusing on Disney conservation and what they do to help the planet and to preserve species and all the different programs that they have that people might not know about. And a lot of this is seen very heavily at Animal Kingdom theme park, not a zoo, a theme park. But before we really dive into that, Brooks, do you want to take over the new news for this evening?
I will, and we have quite a bit of new news. Both Disney and Universal seem to just want to drop in all things news here lately. So we're going to get right into it. Starting in the early hours of April 17th, yesterday, Wednesday, the Anaheim City Council voted to approve Disneyland Forward, a multi-decade plan to allow the Walt Disney Company to develop a new theme park, hotel, and entertainment around its existing theme parks. The final vote needed to move forward with this exciting new phase at Disneyland Resort will take place in May. So stay tuned, as I'm sure there will be a lot more news to come out of the West Coast theme park. That is exciting that they're expanding there. Especially because the last real big expansion, they rethemed Pixar Pier, mm-hmm, and all that. So
they came out with San Francisco, but it's been refurbishment. It hasn't been anything,
right?
You know, expansion.
Adding something new.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. Wait, real quick, time out. Mm-hmm. If you were to, I don't know, inspire Disney and convince them to open up like a new land or something, what would you like for them to include in this expansion project, if you have anything in mind? I've thought about this. If you want, I'll tell you what I've thought while you think about it.
What do you have?
So I really love the idea of having like an elemental city. Think about it this way. Imagine like a living with the land scenario, but it's like you're going through elemental city, you're learning about the different elements, chemistry, periodic table, in a fun way, obviously, not something as boring as those words typically sound. But I just think that that would be just so cool. I don't know how they could do it, but I know Disney has the technology to make it something interesting. I think that'd be cool. And then imagine having that, what is it, the fire store from the movie. Have that be like a quick service or something, merchandise. I think it'd be cool. I don't know.
I could see him maybe do something like that, but with Zootopia, with all the different areas, especially with them coming out. They're doing Zootopia too.
Right. Yeah. So, you're right.
And I do know that I think it was a lot more popular internationally than it was domestically.
Well, it's in Shanghai. I think it's in Shanghai Disneyland that they have an entire zoo. It looks beautiful.
And I think it's very popular there. So I could see him doing something like that. I know that they'll probably, that's where they'll probably add in potentially Pandora Avatar.
So maybe like a form of Animal Kingdom Park then.
Yeah, I don't think they can do the safari in that area.
But they could probably incorporate something with Moana as well. Yeah, Moana 2 coming out, Zootopia 2. You know, maybe you mentioned it.
Ooh, Inside Out. having somewhere like you go in and...
That would be so cool. Yeah.
Especially, I feel like I'm going to really identify with anxiety and...
Oh my gosh, I know! I feel like that's going to be like everyone's like favorite character ever. Anyways, back to the new news.
So going on with the new news, question, has anyone noticed that there is a very big sign missing from Frontierland? Sadly, that's right. The original Country Bear Jamboree song, Jamboree sign is gone. Wow. As we patiently wait for news for it on its reimagined opening set to open sometime this summer. Also happening this summer, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and my notes went way down to further on down with, on our notes. So the opening of Tiana's Bayou Adventure in Magic Kingdom just today, it has been revealed that media previews will take place sometime in mid-June. Could this mean that this refurbished attraction might open to the public in July? Stay tuned as we keep you informed as to when to book your next Disney vacation to be one of the first guests to try out this long-awaited attraction. I still think it's going to be closer to August. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they did media in June and maybe pass holder and vacation club member previews in July, and then
for a whole month.
That's my guess.
That's a long time. Normally they only give the pass holders and DVCs like 2 or 3 days.
I feel like they did previews for a long time for Moana. I feel like
did a soft opening before they did a big reveal too. And they ended up doing that. But yes, I mean, they tend to not give a lot of days, but they space it out over like a week or two. Like, it's not like it's 2 days back to back per se. But I'll say this. I don't know if you saw this, Brooks, but yesterday, I'm talking about obviously Wednesday, the April 17th. Tiana's Bayou was lit up at night. The water tower was lit up. And now you could see twinkling lights in the trees, and people are saying it's supposed to mimic fireflies. How freaking cool is that? That's going to be so pretty. I cannot wait.
I mean, Princess and the Frog is one of my favorite Disney movies. So
you're going to have a blast excited with this one then. Oh, did you like Splash Mountain before? Like, was that an attraction you enjoyed going on?
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to be, put that on your list. You got to go before your AP expires then, hopefully.
Well, it expires in June, so. If we don't renew. So, moving forward, on April the 18th, the day of this recording, Disney filed the first permit for major test track ride changes coming to Epcot in the near future. When Disney announced its refurbishment during last year's D23 event, they revealed that it would draw inspiration from the original ride, World of Motion. Stay tuned for more details on that. And I feel like that is much needed on that one.
Epcot's getting a lot of love.
Yeah, they are lately. And then moving forward, between April 29th to May 25th, Mickey's Shorts Theater in Hollywood Studios will be closed for refurbishment. All I gotta say is I hope this refurbishment doesn't extend past May 25th, as a great place for guests to escape that Florida summer heat and enjoy some entertaining Mickey shorts. And one thing that I saw, I think it was may have been an agent that posted it or not, But I saw where you can actually, a little thing that you can do is you can actually get a certificate to be a Disney historian. So you go up to one of the cast members and ask for the quiz. They hand you this piece of paper and you fill it out. If you don't know the answers, they're all within the different exhibits. Mm-hmm. And then you take it to the cast member that's right in front, right before the theater. And if you have all the questions correct, they hand you this certificate saying that you are an official Disney historian.
That is an awesome tip, Brooks. I love that.
So, but what were you going to say?
No. I was actually going to say that I saw a picture about the, because there's like, I guess, talk that they're just probably doing some minor refurbishments, like changing the upholsteries on the chairs and things like that. And I saw a picture. I've been there, but I can't for the life of me remember if the chairs look like Mickey's from the back. Because I saw a picture that they did, red with like yellow buttons. And I was like, huh.
I've never noticed that.
Me neither. I don't know if that's like a concept art but anyways, thought that was stinking cute. But yeah, I love that tip with the historian test, basically quiz. And then you get a certificate. So cute.
So, and then moving on, if you don't have a travel agent helping you with your next Disney vacation, you may not know that Disney has rolled out an update on the My Disney Experience. If you have duplicate accounts or profiles, you will now be able to merge them into one. It's important to note that when you merge two profiles, all reservations, tickets, plans, cards, etc. will merge in a seamless experience. This is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. I've had clients that they end up creating another account. They can't find the reservation. And it's like, okay, well, I have this account that they actually do have access to. And then this other that they, you know, forgot about where their tickets and hotel reservations can be found. So to be able to merge the two is just awesome.
We had something similar actually happen when we got our annual passes. One was linked to our shared email at gmail.com and one was sent to our shared at yahoo.com.
Ooh.
So when you logged in, only one was showing up. Yeah. But we contacted Disney and they were able to merge them for us.
Well, now you don't have to call Disney.
Now you can.
Yeah.
Yep, now you can do it on My Disney Experience. And then moving along, we have many of us probably have multiple logins, accounts, and passwords for most Disney services. These can include My Disney Experience, ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, Hulu, Shop Disney, and more. This inconvenience is now a thing of the past as Disney launched a My Disney single login experience for all of your Disney needs and services.
Oh my gosh, I'm a victim. So, I'm a victim of having to, even if I'm logged into something that is Disney and it tells me, okay, if you want to go to something else, like even like dining reservations, you're already in your account and you still have to put in your login information or whatever. And it's like, what?
So, and sometimes that valuable time can mean getting in a reservation or not getting in a reservation.
Same with Shop Disney. Like, it's all linked together. Why? And so, you know, oh gosh, especially with the Hulu and the Disney and everything, I've been a victim of having different passwords because I forget or whatever. And they're just, even though it's all Disney, they're all linked together. So this is awesome. I think Disney IT gets a gold star today.
But then we don't just talk about Disney here. Universal came out with a new ticket deal that launched for Florida residents today. Those poor Florida residents, they don't get enough love. If you live in Florida and purchase a two-day, two-park ticket to Universal, you will be able to get 2 days free. So you can get a 2-for-4 ticket deal. If you live in Florida and you would like to plan your summer vacation to Universal, visit fairytalejourneys.com and fill out a no-obligation quote form, and a Fairy Tale Journeys agent will help you get started and answer all of your questions. I mean, if you're going to go for 2 days, why not go for four?
It's the summer.
Because, especially since you can't do all of Universal in just 2 days.
Not you could try. Properly. Well, if you get the Express Unlimited Pass, then you probably could. But, you know, there's also Volcano Bay.
I still feel like you're rushing yourself.
100%. 100%. I've told clients, too, in the past, even if you decide to go for three nights and you're like, well, why do I need a fourth day? Well, A, it's free, so why wouldn't you take advantage of it? And B, even if you go for just like breakfast or 2 hours in the morning before you leave, if you can manage it, it's included. Take advantage, you know? Yeah. That's all I'm saying. But pretty cool.
Yep. So that is about all the new news that we have. And this doesn't even cover all the new news that came out. We hope you enjoyed this segment of the podcast. If you're a fan and want to be informed of more news, let us know in the Facebook group. If you have any suggestions, let us know. We love hearing from our listeners.
Definitely. I mean, there's so much out there. Brooks and I were talking about it, and we cover a good amount of what we think really stands out or we feel like is making a popular splash on social medias and whatnot. But if you want to know more new news, whether it's on the podcast or on Facebook, just let us know. We're here for you.
Because I feel like lately they're dropping stuff daily.
Oh my gosh. It's hard to keep up, honestly. So, anyways. All right. Well, moving on to today's topic. Happy Earth Day for those of you listening to us on April 22nd.
And also, if you're in Animal Kingdom on April 22nd, say hi.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh, that'd be so cool, right? So I really wanted to explore this topic. And it just so happened that it was perfect timing that we record. And then the episode just drops on Earth Day. So I was like, okay, this is appropriate. And I guess my reasoning or my inspiration for this is because Animal Kingdom is my favorite park. I've mentioned it multiple times. I tell all of my clients this. Brooks and I were having a very intense conversation before recording about how we strongly believe that Animal Kingdom is not a half-day park. We understand a lot of people go for just the rides, and if that's all you're going for, there's only 6 rides at Animal Kingdom. So it, you know, could you go for half a day? Yeah, sure. But I love going on the Kilimanjaro Safari. And if you've ever been, or if you've not, towards the end of the ride, when you're waiting to unload from the attraction vehicle, your guide starts to mention about something called the Disney Conservation Fund and all the different ways that you can help contribute to endangered species and rescuing habitats and ecosystems, because so many people think that Animal Kingdom is just a zoo, and it is not. I mean, it's a theme park, but there are so many more elements that people just aren't aware of. So today's episode, we're going to honor Earth Day and talk some about Disney conservation and all the different programs that they do have in place, because this is something that is very important to the Walt Disney Company as a whole, and it's not spoken about enough. So without further ado, let's talk about the history a little bit, shall we, of the inspiration and where did this love of conservation and bringing this out into the world come from? So Disney first touched on the conservation theme in 1942. Yes, Walt Disney was still around at this time. And this was with the release of Bambi, in which animals and nature are the heroes. Despite the film's exquisite artistry and years of meticulous background research for the staff working on the movie, which included studying and filming the movements of live animals in the studio, Bambi was not a huge box office success. However, it always did draw lavish praise from conservationists. So Disney's commitment to conservation and the environment can actually be traced back to the 1950s, when Walt Disney himself famously said, and I quote, "Conservation isn't just the business of a few people. It's a matter that concerns all of us." You said it best, Walt. You said it best. Walt's love for nature and his dedication to preserving it paved the way for all we celebrate today. Fast forward to 1995, Disney established the Disney Conservation Fund, which has successfully directed more than $120 million, and counting, and the expertise of our dedicated teams to support organizations working with communities to save wildlife, inspire action, and protect the planet. Disney Conservation is committed to saving wildlife and building a global community inspired to protect the magic of nature together. So, in a nutshell, you know, Disney, Walt Disney, has always had a passion, not just for trains and entertainment, but for conservation as well. And upon doing extensive amount of research for today's episode, you may or may not have heard of Imagineer Joe Rohde. He has taken on that mantle, or had taken that mantle very seriously, and ran with it. So I don't know if you knew this or not, but in order to be zoos and aquariums need to have an AZA accredited certificate. So basically what that means is you need to go through all these different, you know, hurdles and inspections and whatnot to make sure that you are taking the proper steps to take care of animals and be able to showcase them to the public, right? And that's just very compact version of what that explanation is. So Joe Rohde, he actually had gone back to school to get all of his certificates for his AZA. And Brooks, maybe you can look up the name, what the AZA stands for, because I can't remember right now. But he went in and did all his research, did all his certificates. He's traveled the world. He took this very seriously. And that is how Animal Kingdom Theme Park was created, because of his extensive love, research, and just constantly having conversations with scientists and conservationists with people around the world to be able to provide this theme park experience for guests that sees millions and millions of people. Again, it's not just for the rides. It's also a way for people to learn about different habitats, learn about different environments and ecosystems and animals. So again, if you don't know, my passion for Animal Kingdom is very strong, and this topic is very near and dear to my heart. But
AZA stands for Association of Zoos and Aquariums.
Thank you. I knew zoos and aquariums were in there, but I couldn't remember what the other word was. I appreciate it, Rex.
Mm-hmm.
So Disney's philanthropic initiative have helped protect hundreds of species globally and safeguard more than 315 million acres of habitat, an amount equal to 10,000 plus Walt Disney Worlds. Mind blown. The DCF, aka the Disney Conservation Fund, has also recognized 220 conservation heroes for their incredible contributions to wildlife and wildlife conservation. So these conservation heroes are people or teams that have just dedicated their life to be able to help the planet one way or another. Bravo to these people and Disney for recognizing them and continuing to support them in making our planet a better place. Speaking of planet, I mentioned Disney has several different programs, if you will, where conservation is concerned. And I don't even think programs is the right word, but we're going to roll with it. The Disney Planet Possible is the company's commitment to taking action to help change our planet's story. So basically, this is the Disney Planet Possible is like the brand, if you will. And then you have underneath it Disney Conservation Fund, which fuels everything that is possible, right? So the Walt Disney Company has been building a strong legacy of environmental sustainability, conservation, and powerful storytelling by writing the next chapter of what's possible when working to create a happier, healthier planet for all. Now, I don't know about you, but the first thing that came to my mind when I read that was the Our Awesome Planet show that you can see at The Land in Epcot. If you haven't seen it, A, it's awesome. B, it is a great break from the summer heat, especially in the summertime. I said summer twice. Whoops. Anyways, if you go in, no spoiler alerts, but you go in and you'll have this very informative short about the planet. And honestly, it almost feels like an extension of Soarin without the awesome sense, because it does take you to different places around the world and explains them in depth. And it's just really, really cool. So I recommend it. If you haven't seen it, this is something that just like triggered my mind when I had read it. But anyways, just kind of continuing on the Disney Conservation Fund. What's really, really awesome, again, about this, they have grants. They recognize heroes. They have established themselves to help globally. This is not something that is just focused in Florida or Walt Disney World. This is a global initiative. The DCF is focused on saving wildlife for future generations through grants to leading conservation organizations working together to stabilize and increase the populations of at-risk animals, including butterflies, coral reefs, cranes, elephants, gorillas, monkeys, and sea turtles. A Disney conservationist works with each organization to identify where Disney expertise can also play a role in reversing the decline of these animals and their habitats. A very interesting fact, and there's so many facts, so many interesting facts if you ask me. For instance, the Sea Turtle Initiative, that one actually is very heavily focused in Disney's Vero Beach Resort. And one of the many articles that I read, they had released over hundreds of sea turtles back into the ocean, into the natural environment after being either properly cared for if they had any injury, or just, you know, conserving the species when they go onto the beach, lay their eggs, and trying to make it back out to sea. So it's really, really cool. Same with like the butterflies. They have hundreds of butterfly species that migrate to and from all over. And the Walt Disney Company has made an effort to try and rehabilitate some of these endangered butterfly species. What's also really cool, maybe you don't know this, Disney has done a lot of, losing words. They've created safe places, safe areas within the Walt Disney Company for them to be able to safely migrate there, and for them to study them, for them to be able to travel anywhere. And also, there's just so many facts. There is acres. We're talking like, I think it was like 136 acres. I could be wrong on the number because I do not have those notes specifically in front of me. However, they have X amount of acres just dedicated to the environment, to protecting swamplands, to protecting forests, to protecting migratory animals that come and go. I mean, this is no small feat. We think that, you know, we think Disney and we think just the theme parks. So we think of Mickey Mouse, but there is so much more that goes on. We haven't even talked about the solar panels, you know? So there is so much that Disney does, but really I can go on, but we're going to try and narrow and highlight the 12 surprising facts behind Walt Disney World Resort's conservation efforts. Brooks, you want to help me with this one?
Sure. So starting with the first surprising fact, which you started to mention it, Disney supports raising, releasing, and conserving butterfly species. Almost about a third of our food that we eat come from plants that depend on pollinators like butterflies. And Disney is committed to protecting wildlife and their habitats globally, including butterflies that call Walt Disney World Resort home. To date, members of Disney's Animal Science and Environment have supported and recorded more than 70 butterfly species living in native plant pollinator gardens across the resort's property. The DCF also supports the University of Florida's work to restore butterfly habitats and raise and release threatened species back into the wild. Together, University of Florida and DCF has raised and released more than 6,000 Atelia.
I think it's Atala. I don't know.
Atala. Okay. We all know from the last episode, my pronunciation of words is awful. Atala butterflies. Also, 10,500 endangered Miami blue butterflies, and nearly 1,000 endangered.
Shouse.
Swallowtail butterflies. So, I mean, that's huge. I mean,
that's a lot of pollinators. Yep. I can totally picture the It's Tough to Be a Bug show under the Tree of Life. I know it's super scary for young kids, some adults too, but I'm just like hearing it's pollinators. I'm pretending to a butterfly. I love it. I love it. All right, continue.
All right. Moving on to different other than butterflies, Walt Disney World Resort is adding sustainable features across the parks. Cast members at Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind is amazing ride wear costumes designed and created from sustainable materials, with 70% of each uniform base fabric made from recycled content.
That is awesome.
Cast members around the Disney park even don aprons made from recycled plastic water bottles, each of which keeps 50 plastic bottles out of the landfills.
That is amazing.
That's
So time out. I feel like this is an appropriate time to mention they don't just recycle plastic water bottles. Okay. Walt Disney World. Can you hear me smiling for those of you that can't see me? Like this makes me so happy. So at Walt Disney World's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campgrounds, Disney was recognized last year in 2023 for their glass pulverization pilot program. So what does this mean? In a nutshell, as part of a pilot program, the Walt Disney World team is collecting glass bottles, glass containers, glass jar that are placed in recycle bins throughout the campgrounds. This glass is then transferred into a bin connected to a glass pulverizer. With the flip of a switch, glass travels up a conveyor belt where it is then crushed by multiple small hammers before being sorted through a large mesh screen for bigger gravel-sized pieces or a smaller mesh screen for finer sand-like material. Within 30 seconds, a sauce jar or beverage bottle can turn into a soft sand mix. Now, if you do not think that that's super cool, you might be thinking, well, what is Disney doing with this sand? Well, I'll tell you. They use this material to fill in holes on gravel roads and the horseback riding trails. Thank you, Disney.
I mean, and it was one of the shows on Disney Plus. I remember, like, when I first hearing about it, and the way that they do it is super cool as well. And just like you said, within 30 seconds, you see all this material go into this machine, and then all of a sudden, this soft sand that they literally just pick up and it runs. Yeah, it runs through their hands. And
it, so you're saying how quickly it happens? Specifically, Brooks, this pulverizer can process up to 2,000 pounds of glass per hour. Wow. So anyways, that is awesome that they can convert, let's say, a beer bottle into sand and gravel and repurpose it that way. So, you know, thought that was a good, insert there when you mentioned plastic water bottles.
Yeah. So moving on with the 12 facts, number three, Disney is committed to renewable energy as well. Of course, it has to be a Mickey-shaped solar facility located near Epcot, provides power to Walt Disney World Resort. In addition to the 57 MW facility near, megawatts. Near the SR-429, two additional solar facilities are projected to bring the resort's renewable energy consumption up to 40% of its annual total power use.
Wow.
So
remember when I mentioned that if there was ever a really bad hurricane to hit down here, I would escape to Disney? This is why, because, gosh, they have it all taken care of. And then to think about how much renewable energy that they have at their disposal, I don't have to worry about having no AC for long. That's for sure.
So then moving on with the Disney Conservation Fund, they help preserve Earth for generations to come. And through support from guests and the Walt Disney companies, as we mentioned, since 1995, the DCF has directed $125 million to save wildlife across 120 countries and have inspired millions of people to take action for nature in their communities. And then, like we said, in 2023, the fund expanded its legacy to honor Disney's Animal Kingdom's 25th anniversary. So
these efforts are globally, and you said it just now, this doesn't just help the planet and different species of plants and animals, it also helps communities too. We'll get more into that as this episode transpires.
So, and then you know, people like to visit Walt Disney World. Well, animals enjoy visiting the Walt Disney World Resort as well. Nearly a third of Walt Disney World Resort, more than 8,000 acres, have been permanently set aside for wildlife conservation.
I was so off.
More than 200.
I think I said 130-something. Whoops. There we go.
So, more than 200 bird species live at Walt Disney World Resort, including purple martins. These small songbirds travel more than 6,000 miles from Florida to South America and back each year to raise their young. Members of Disney's Animal Science and Environment help create homes for these birds and track their patterns and health.
Migratory patterns.
Migratory. Yep. So, I didn't even want to.
It's okay, Brooks.
Say it wrong.
It's all good. So did you get a chance to watch the Disney Plus show Secrets of Animal Kingdom, or Secrets of the Animal Kingdom, I think it's called? If you haven't, I recommend
it. I started
watching it. I recommend finishing it then, because they do have an episode where they talk about these migratory birds that come from South America, and they show you the structure that, you know, the Disney conservation team created in Epcot. because these birds, you can find them in Epcot. So if you're walking towards World Showcase, obviously now you don't have walls to impede your view. Once you're arriving towards the lake areas, you will see these giant white structures. They almost look like funky looking trees, if you will, like metal white trees. And at the top, they're like these like bulbous looking enclosures. And in them is where these birds come, have their babies, live, so on and so forth, when they do make their migratory journeys to and from Walt Disney World. So you can find those at Epcot. And if you see the show, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Anyways.
So if you move right along, if you've ever had seafood at the parks, did you know it's sustainable? Walt Disney World Resort is committed to minimizing its impact on the ocean by sourcing environmentally responsible seafood, according to the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch recommendations. Since 2022, all U.S. parks, resorts, and cruise lines have sourced nearly 100% sustainable seafood.
Wow.
Which, if you go on Living on the Land, you can see a lot of those, mm-hmm. a lot of that seafood life. Yep,
and you can learn even more about them if you take the Behind the Seeds tour, which I did mention a few mm-hmm. episodes back.
So I think moving along to the cutest fact, rhinos born at Disney parks help species around the world. The success of the white rhino breeding program at Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park is a major achievement for Disney's animal care experts and the white rhino population in managed care. The herd, or crash, allows Disney to learn more about this incredible, nearly threatened species, and its learnings can benefit rhinos worldwide. In November 2021, the 13th white rhino was born at Walt Disney World Resort, which is incredible news for the conservation of this nearly threatened species.
Thank you, Disney.
So, and if you haven't seen a baby rhino, I suggest looking them up. They're very cute. Then going on, Disney experts provide critical care for sea turtles, as you were mentioned, at the Seas with Nemo and Friends and in the wild. Following injury in the wild, more than 300 endangered sea turtles have been nursed back to health by Disney's animal care experts and returned to the Big Ocean Blue. The Disney conservation team also celebrated its 20th year of sea turtle conservation efforts at Disney's Vero Beach Resort, a Disney Vacation Club resort where they have recorded more than 20,000 sea turtle nests that resulted in 1.5 million sea turtle hatchings to date.
I also had those numbers wrong, so I'm glad you read the right ones. Severely underestimated how much Disney has contributed to help the sea turtle species.
So then moving along, the Walt Disney Company has reduced plastic waste worldwide. In 2018, the Walt Disney Company eliminated single-use plastic straws and stirrers at all locations across the globe. That's a reduction of more than 200 million straws and stirrers annually. Moving forward, Disney parks will focus on further reducing single-use plastics in all areas.
Fun fact time! So, if you've ever been to, and this is not the only location, this is just the location where I learned about it. If you go to La Cava del Tequila in Mexico, inside the Mexican Pavilion, and you ever decide to have a cup of something with a straw, the straw that they use at the time, I think this was a few years ago that I learned about this, and I think I've seen it become more commonly used throughout the property, but they used to have these, or they have these straws, I think they came from Mexico, coincidentally, that are made entirely out of agave. 100% biodegradable without actually disintegrating when you drink out of it, like paper straws. It is game changing when you use an agave straw. So I don't know where else they have them. I know that they have been rolling them out, but the only place that I know definitively is the cava of tequila, of the tequila, however it's friggin' pronounced, in Mexico. So, I love fun facts.
All right. And then, moving right along, bees are not the only pollinators that Walt Disney World helps. Bees have acres and acres of welcoming habitats.
Oh, butterflies. Gotcha. Oh, it's not just butterflies. Not the only. They have bees too.
It's not. It's yeah. They're not just butterflies. Bees. Florida is home to more than 300 species of bees, which enjoy time at Walt Disney World Resort like so many other guests each year. Disney's animal science and environment continue to support native plant gardens for bees and other wildlife across property, and recently won an award recognizing research and contributions to pollinators at the large-scale pollinator habitats at Walt Disney World. In the past 2 years, this team even inspired more than 800 Disney volunteers to plant backyard habitats in support of monarch migrations across the U.S. Fun fact, my brother was actually a beekeeper for a while.
That is awesome.
Him and his friend had a hive of bees, and they even were able to harvest some of the honey from it.
That is cool. I love that.
Moving right along to fun fact number 11. Disney parks protect and preserve African elephants. Since 1995, Disney has helped protect elephants across its habitats in Africa and Asia by supporting nonprofit organizations through the Disney Conservation Fund and providing expertise from its Disney's Animal Science and Environment cast members. The elephant herd at Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park have even helped scientists learn more about elephants' communication and behavior, which has supported conservation efforts in the wild. And then, last fun fact, Disney is aimed for zero waste to landfill by 2030. So in just 6 years, they aim to be zero waste to landfill. As far as a company-wide pledge to achieve zero waste sent to landfills by 2030, Walt Disney World Resort is reducing food waste with a commitment to the U.S.'s EPA Food Loss and Waste 2030 Champions Challenge. That means less waste of the resources that go into growing, harvesting, packaging, and transporting the food served at Walt Disney World Resort.
Whew. Oh, that's 12 facts right there. Gosh. And we can't even go into depth on solely the things that Disney has done for Florida or just at Walt Disney. This is like the company as a whole. They just really, wow. They've unlocked what it takes to take care of this planet and have a significant impact, right? So I know we've talked about a lot of different things, but I wanted to do like a real quick recap of basically the history of the Disney, the Disney Planet. Oh, what's it called? Too many facts. Disney Planet Possible and all their conservation efforts. So starting off in 1995, as we now know, is when the Walt Disney Company recognized the urgency to protect rapidly vanishing wildlife and habitats and established the Disney Conservation Fund and was able to grant and award 39 different projects providing support to respected conservation organizations already at the forefront of the critical conservation efforts. But of course, Disney did not stop there. This was only the beginning. In 1998, Disney's Animal Kingdom opened on April 22nd, Earth Day to be exact, where guests can join Disney in supporting conservation by adding a contribution to their purchase at shops. Did you know that if you stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge or if you bought any number of things at Animal Kingdom theme park, a portion of that does go to help the environment or the sustainable, or just taking care of the animals that they have, right? That's crazy cool. Then we go 2004, our first our meaning, Disney's first conservation heroes are honored for their passion and dedication to supporting the success of conservation projects in their communities around the world. Again, this is something that Disney cannot tackle alone. They need the help of guests. They need the help of villages and communities and people and organizations and teams worldwide. There's so much that needs to be done to help this planet. And the fact that they recognize anyone in any group that can do what needs to be done to help raise awareness and protect is just fantastic. And the fact that Disney, again, gives them the support and the grants, top-notch Disney. 2006, $10 million milestone in support for wildlife and wild places was reached. To commemorate that milestone, Disney's Bob Iger, current CEO, honored John Cleese, Dr. Ian Douglas Hamilton, Dame Dr. Jane Goodall, Wangari Maathai, and Isabella Rossellini for their commitment to conservation. And yes, there are documents on Disney Plus on some of these phenomenal conservation heroes if you wanted to go in and watch. In 2009, Disney Nature releases its first film, Earth, launching a commitment to contribute to conservation through the Disney Conservation Fund in honor of each person that watches the film in the first week of its release. Earth funded the planting of 3 million trees in Brazil through the Nature Conservancy. And the commitment is carried on to all future Disney Nature films. So, have you seen the Disney Nature films? Because if you haven't, I strongly, strongly recommend them. What's really, really neat about these documentaries and films is that nowadays, all these films are narrated by different actors, like Natalie Portman, for instance. Or I think Michelle Obama did. No, it was, a bunch of different, like, A-lister celebrities narrate these amazing documentaries that follow different animal species. Like, each short or documentary covers a specific animal. So we have dolphins, you've got bears, you've got penguins, you've got polar bears, you've got orcas. Did I mention whales? I don't know. You've got land and sea. They're so awesome. It is something that when you think of a documentary, you think of something dull and boring. It is not. I strongly encourage anyone of any age to watch these, whether you're a kid or an adult. It's super informative. It's super cute. And Disney just does a phenomenal job to bring awareness to these species and educate people. I always look forward to April every year, specifically because Disney always releases some amazing video content for this stuff. This year, Disney Plus, if you're a Disney Plus subscriber, they have a whole collection called, I'm drawing a blank. It's not Disney Earth. It's like World, like Nature World or something. I can picture the whole image. It's like a fading planet, but I can't remember the name. Anyways, it's basically a playlist of a bunch of these videos and documentaries and whatnot that you can watch that bring awareness to Earth Month. Moving forward, in 2019, so kind of a bit of a leap, During the release of The Lion King live action, Disney collaborated with the Lion Recovery Fund to inspire audiences to help double the population of lions by 2050. In 2020, the Disney Conservation Fund celebrated its 25th anniversary and $100 million milestone. So, you know, it's only going up from here for those that think that, you know, oh, the sky is falling. Potentially. But if this is something that is important to you, I highly recommend you read up into this a little bit more. There's a lot of great information that Disney supplies and a lot of volunteer opportunities as well. And again, I mean, we've talked about Animal Kingdom Park. Animal Kingdom Park is a beacon for these animal species. We were talking about there's like millions of species for animals, plants, grass, shrubs, so on and so forth. Disney has done a phenomenal job to tie in all these different elements, to preserve, to take care of, to educate, and bring awareness. Okay. So I know I've kind of just gone on a ramble on some of the many different things that Disney has done. That's just like incredible. And we're kind of nearing the end of the episode, but I just wanted to throw a couple more like fun things specifically about Animal Kingdom. And let me say, we've had an emphasis on Animal Kingdom theme park, but those aren't the only locations where you have animals on Walt Disney World property. You do have the animals at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. And yes, you can stay in a room with a savannah view. So you can wake up and see these beautiful animals roaming. You also have animals at Fort Wilderness Resort Fort Wilderness Campgrounds. And there you have the Tri-Circle Ranch. And you have all of the horses and ponies there. You may have seen, you know, weddings that happen at Walt Disney World, and these ponies are used for that, as well as activities at the fort. And lastly, we also have Epcot. If you've never been to the Seas with Nemo and friends, it is a really awesome place. They also have a lot of team cast members there that discuss great facts about each of the animals that they have there. You know, why they're there, how do they feed them, how do they take care of them, the extensive amount of veterinary care and attention that they all get. And, you know, that's only the tip of the iceberg. Like we've mentioned, Animal Kingdom is a whole other beast. It's actually considered the largest theme park in the world, with the Kilimanjaro Safari being the largest section. I think we mentioned it, or maybe not, how many different magic kingdoms you can actually fit just on the Kilimanjaro Safari section. I can't even remember. I'm sure I have it here somewhere. But just to kind of give you guys a little bit more information before we wrap things up, Animal Kingdom takes over more than 500 acres, over 2,000 animals representing approximately 300 species, all managed and cared for under the guidelines of the AZA, or Association of Zoos and Aquariums, called Disney's Animal Kingdom their home. It's the same park where more than 400 million trees, plants, shrubs, vines, grasses, ferns, etc. So about 3,000 species coexist together. That's kind of what I was saying earlier, but obviously in a more eloquent way. Disney's Animal Kingdom is not only a universally respected state-of-the-art animal park and conservation center of excellence, but it is also serves as a model of entertainment in the service of inspiration and action. And as we've mentioned, the Disney Conservation Fund has directed more than $125 million to support nonprofit organizations working with communities to reverse the decline of wildlife worldwide. So, if that's not enough, I did mention briefly earlier that Disney has a lot of different, I guess, influences in the conservation community and to bring awareness and educate people. You've probably heard us mention about National Geographic expeditions here on the podcast in the past. Did you know that if you ever were to go on an adventure with National Geographic expeditions, that a portion of the travel money, or what you pay for, actually goes back into the National Geographic Society to help fund research and scientists and education for everything worldwide, whether it's animal conservations, plant species, you name it. We had a little bit, here about National Geographic expeditions, but due to time, we're just going to put it on the Facebook group. I will leave you with this. National Geographic expeditions aims to fulfill the society's mission to inspire people to care about the planet by providing meaningful opportunities to explore it. Proceeds from all travel programs support the society's efforts to increase global understanding through exploration, education, and scientific research. For more than 130 years, the National Geographic Society has identified and funded a global community of explorers, leading scientists, educators, storytellers, conservationists, technologists, and many other changemakers who help us define some of the critical challenges of our time, drive new knowledge, advance new solutions, and inspire positive transformative change. So if you've ever wanted to travel to some exotic place off the beaten path, National Geographic Expedition is for you. And if that's not enough, you get to give back as well as being educated. And when you go on these National Geographic expeditions, you always have a guide and you have an expert with you. And an expert can be any of those explorers that I mentioned to you, scientists, storyteller, conservationists, technologists. I mean, I remember when I was on the FAM, the Disney training, earlier this year, and I talked to a National Geographic expert. He mentioned that there's like very specific scientists, like, for instance, a volcanist. I might be saying that wrong, but a scientist that specifically specializes in volcanoes and their patterns. So if you're, I don't know, I can't think of a volcano right now, but if you're on like this wild expedition, there's a volcano there, let's say in Africa, and you have this scientist with you that can tell you all about it. I mean, how cool is that? So if you are interested in National Geographic expedition, I mean, they're basically having itineraries in almost every continent. They do even have Antarctica as one of their expeditions. But if you're interested, please, by all means, either contact us or go to fairytalejourneys.com to get with an agent and get you, educated. But other than that, Brooks, I know I've gone on rants and I'm very passionate about this topic, but please, is there anything more that you would like to discuss, recap, I don't know, mention anything that stands out to you when it comes to Disney's conservation efforts, which I obviously love?
No, I think you covered it very well. I can just do kind of a DCF recap real quick. The Disney Conservation Fund, which was founded in 1995, supports nonprofit organizations to reverse the decline of wildlife by combining research and community engagement and to increase the time kids spend in nature, leading to happier, healthier kids who are inspired to care about their planet. Disney Conservation Fund supports the important work of both local and global nonprofit organizations to positively impact wildlife ecosystems and the communities closely related to their survival. This support is just one example of Disney's company-wide commitment to take action to help change their planet's history, something we call, like Steph mentioned earlier, Disney Planet Possible. This conservation commitment is also brought to life through the work we do to reduce our impact in the on the environment, how we engage our audiences through inspiring nature telling, and how our own cast members, of course, this is Disney talking, how our own cast members is taking action through best-in-class scientific programs to conserve biodiversity in Disney's backyard and beyond.
Thank you for that recap, Brooks. I guess like the last thing that I would want to mention, and again, it's just kind of like a tip, if anything. You know, there's a lot of different things within the Walt Disney Company and the property that exposes you to their efforts, their conservation efforts. But I do encourage you the next time you go to Animal Kingdom theme park at Walt Disney World is if you haven't done so, you go to Rafiki Planet Watch after you get off of Kilimanjaro Safari, preferably, and you're going to take this train to their conservation center in the way, way backs of the park. You cannot get there by foot. I repeat, you will take a train. There is no walking. You're still on Animal Kingdom property. And what's really cool is when you get back there, you have like a little petting zoo, but they also have a whole building in which you go in and it educates you on some of these conservation efforts that Disney has done, including giving you a sneak peek at some of their vet laboratories and efforts that they do to take care of their animals on property. And like I said, wherever you go and there's animals, if there's a cast member there, whether feeding them or interacting with guests around, talk to them. Get to know more about these animals and what Disney does to protect them and how it really is more than just a zoo. It is not a zoo, but point being that they take taking care of animals to a whole other level, and they want to be able to educate everyone that, you know, goes through their gate and leave Animal Kingdom, you know, wanting to give back and make a difference in the world. So thank you for coming to this very educational Earth Day episode.
I can't believe we did this whole time and we didn't even talk about the bird show at Animal Kingdom as well.
There's so much. There is so much. We were really just, you know, covering the surface.
Scratching the surface.
Yeah, that's the phrase. Covering the surface, scratching. I clearly suck at phrases. Oh, my goodness. Michael's laughing at me.
I stink at pronunciation, so.
We can't be good at everything. Well, I think that just about does it on this episode on Earth Day and Disney conservation efforts. Please join us next week as we bring a new and special guest to give us here at the Mouse Ears Podcast, host and audience, an overview on Sandals and Beaches Resort. If you're looking for a getaway to a tropical island, all-inclusive, whether for just adults or family, this is the episode for you, not Disney related. You do not want to miss that episode, let me tell you. We've got some good stuff in store for you. But don't forget to join our Mouse Ears Podcast Facebook group and our TikTok page for all the episode details. And if you're interested in having a Fairytale Journeys agent book your next trip, please visit fairytalejourneys.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you like listening to us, will you pretty please leave us a review wherever you listen to us? Until next episode, happy Earth Day, everyone. Have a good day.
Bye.